Let's kick off another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast, where Brendan Bussman and Brant Eyden march down the field on key political, legislative, and regulatory developments in the gaming sector. As these titans square off on the issues facing the industry, this podcast highlights the current opportunities and challenges for expansion and reform. Let's see what the game plan is for this episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to the World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your host, Brant Eyden, along with my fellow quarterback in the hot seat, Brendan Bussman. There he is. Good to see you, my friend. Fresh off a Nebraska loss against Ohio, from what I gather. Although they were up, you had a chance.
Well, hold on here. Let's separate Ohio and Ohio State when we look at this.
Fair enough. You being
the Michigan guy here, I would think you would know that sort of stuff. But
you got me there. You're right.
I have to say, my Bobcats had a great victory last week in honoring their Hall of Fame coach, my former boss, Frank Solich. So thank you for the lead-in off of that.
There you go.
I look forward to hosting he and his family and both sets of the Nebraska and Ohio guys here in Vegas during the College Football Hall of Fame ceremony in December. But we're not here to talk about sports. We're here to talk about politics, right?
We are, and this is our Halloween special. And, you know, every year I keep saying I'm going to dress up, but the problem is that the show always airs a couple days later, so I just feel like it would be weird. It's the holiday special, but then, you know, the viewers are going to see it, and I have a costume on days later. So I decided against that this year.
Yeah, but you're known for your pink suit you wore at G2E, so I think it's already a given. So, you know, there's that there.
So, well, let's jump into this. Is our election special. We have got a great guest. Brendan, I'm going to let you introduce our guest and then jump right in. We're going to talk about Missouri first, but fire away.
You know, and I'm so happy we have our guest here with us today. A longtime friend of mine that got introduced to me years ago by a mutual Nebraska friend of mine and Jim Crowns. But Harrison Hickman joins us today. Harrison, welcome to the World Series of Politics.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
Tell everybody just a little bit about your background. Obviously, you're not new to the whole political scene, but you've done polling and gaming-related initiatives for a long time. So tell our audience about all your experience.
Okay. I've done about 500. I've been a pollster, and that's not somebody who refinishes chairs and sofas. That requires much more skill than what I do. But I've been a pollster now for about 45 years. I've done campaigns in every state, 10 presidential campaigns, and I've been involved in gaming in probably 10 or 12 states and a lot of local areas as well. And, you know, attitudes have changed about a lot of things in politics over the time I've been in it, and that includes gaming. People are much more not only tolerant, but they're you know, sort of much more supportive now than they were.
Well, and you know, the gaming issue has evolved over time, and you know, as we've done this podcast, and even just in my tenure in the last two decades in this industry, we've seen people's opinions get shaped, moved, all of that, and it's very important, and obviously, heading into this election, you know, there's a lot of gaming related issues out there. You know, Brant, you brought up Missouri. Do you want to kick that off over there on the Show Me State, or as I referred to it on a previous podcast, the State of Misery?
Yes, it is. That has been coined, by the way. I heard other folks referring to that at G2E. So Harrison, I'm going to jump right in and just say, look, we've talked about Missouri a lot on this show. It's obviously the polling is very, very close. I've seen it both ways in probably the past 6 days or so. You know, give us the rundown and let's talk about sports betting specifically first. What do you see happening as it relates to the, you know, the proposal to allow sports betting in the great state of Missouri?
Well, everything I've seen have shown exactly what you're saying, Brant, which is that it's going to be close. I think one thing to remember on these referendum polls, what typically happens is there's sort of three main patterns about referendum polling. Number one, if people aren't for it, they're against it. In other words, the number I look at is the percentage of people who are for something. Because the people who are undecided typically end up in the anti category. So I think if you were trying to forecast the outcome, that would be the number you would focus on. Number two, I've always said, and this relates to this, which is a no vote on a referendum is about the easiest thing you can get in politics, in electoral politics. And mainly it's because what you have to do is to raise doubt. And, you know, people are been, you know, increasingly willing, not casting aspersions to anybody, but people are increasingly willing to say things that raise doubt, you know, whether or not those things have much, you know, reference to the truth. And then the third thing is that a lot of people, the people who turn out to vote in a presidential year, a lot of them, if you look at referendum matters, not necessarily just gaming, but other things down the ballot, there's a big fall off between people, the number of people who voted in the presidential race or a governor's race or big city mayor's race and people who vote in referenda down the ballot. And so the question becomes not just turnout, but who among those are who turn out are going to work their way all the way down the ballot. I think those are sort of three things that most people miss when they talk about that. They usually talk about just who's ahead and who's behind. But it is close. But I think if you were forecasting, and I haven't seen the advertising, but I would assume that it's going to be close. And, you know, the people, the number of people who work their way down the ballot are going to be the ones that make the difference.
Well, and Harrison, you bring up valid points off of all that. And I know, you know, I've done initiatives off of this. And especially if you're sitting there in a state that has several initiatives with a lot of language on them, the fatigue sets in going, God, if I didn't walk in here and I got to read all this, I don't get to the bottom. You know, and obviously, you know, there's also been back to sports betting just in general in Missouri, an exorbitant amount of money that's been spent there, at least I think, you know, I think I saw the stat the other day, $100 million has been spent on initiatives. And out of that, you know, the majority, you know, 50 plus million has been spent on sports betting, comparatively along the way. And that doesn't include anything off of, you know, what you've seen off and on with other things, because obviously abortion's on the ballot there. And then there's another ballot initiative on there as well as it relates to a casino in the Ozarks. And obviously, you know, does having two gaming related initiatives on a ballot cause further confusion with people? Or, you know, and I say that saying campaigns have started to differentiate themselves more, the Ozarks one than the Ozarks casino one than the sports betting. But, you know, there's been some differentiation in the two campaigns. How much does that play into it, especially when you're sitting there looking at one's, you know, earlier in the initiative cycle versus, I think, Brant, correct me if I'm wrong, the Ozarks is the last one on the ballot for numbers, isn't it, in Missouri?
I believe so, yes, yeah. Correct.
Well, but how much does that play?
It starts out that people sort of, you end up with a, well, let me talk about where you end up. You typically end up with a lot of people who are, you know, for both or for all the gaming issues, and a lot of people who are against all the gaming issues. They just sort of, the voters, whether you want to differentiate or not, they throw it into the same pot.
Of course, right.
Who you're really campaigning for is that narrow group of people, usually 8 or 10%, who take one side on one matter and, you know, the other side on another matter. And I think that's the real challenging thing, because the people who are sort of pro gaming, you know, they have the same arguments in favor of every question that they're going to vote on. I mean, they're for it because of the revenue, because they don't think the government should prohibit things that people do in private anyway. You know, it's fun, it's entertainment, and, you know, what are they going to do away with next? On the other side, you have the people who are just morally opposed to gaming, and then the people who are opposed to sort of the particulars of any specific question that's on the ballot. And so, you know, those things, they tend to be two groups, and they really don't resolve themselves until the very end when there's a lot of money being spent. It's not, people sort of work their way down the ballot, by the way. I mean, most people, they'll tell you they didn't decide to vote for Donald Trump or Kamala Harris until, you know, Halloween. But the reality is, if you had interviewed them on Labor Day, you would have gotten a pretty good idea of who they were going to vote for. And so then they work their way down the ballot as they have time. You know, and I tell you, I tell my clients all the time, I've always told them this, you know, I know it's surprising, but people actually have things they're interested in other than politics.
I wonder about that sometimes, Harrison, but you're right. Well, let me ask you a question, though, specific to, now we heard this, you know, Brandon and I have been talking about this for some time, and Brandon and I agree on this issue, and we heard this in the Caesars earnings call just yesterday or the day before. Brandon, you brought it to my attention. I mean, the prediction from Caesars is that if this fails at the ballot, this will, if sports betting specifically fails at the ballot, it will set the initiative back, you know, 5 to 10 years in the state. I mean, what's your take on that? Do you believe that lawmakers are then going to basically, you know, internalize this and say, this has failed, and so therefore my constituency doesn't want this and that I shouldn't pass this? Or do you think that they'd say, this was very, very close, and I've been elected to go and you know, serve out my district in this, and I can still vote for this? I mean, how do you think they fall on that?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that will matter. Number one, what is the outcome jurisdiction by jurisdiction? If you're a state rep and your district goes, you know, solidly in one direction, you're probably going to follow that path when you get back to Jefferson City. On the other hand, if it's really close, you're probably going to follow the people who are the loudest or give you the most money. No offense to anybody. And so I think that is, you know, first of all, I would break it down by district as opposed to the statewide results. Secondly, I think a lot of this is going to be, was there one thing, this is in the minds of the legislators now, not in the minds of the voters. Was there one thing they thought that was, quote, wrong with the measure, if it loses, that was wrong with it, whether it's the state's share of it, the way money goes back locally, whatever the issue is, if there's a will to change it, they will change it and go back and make the argument, okay, it was a shitty bill, excuse me, it was a bad bill, but now...
It's all good. We've said
it's all right here. That's no problem. We're following you.
Now we have a good one. I mean, you know, I think it's this idea. I see this all the time that, you know, it's going to set us back for 10 years or whatever. That, if it does, it's only because the legislature doesn't have the will to put it back on the ballot. It's a matter for about the legislature, not the voters.
Very good. Very good. Well, let's move down the road here a little bit. And I say that saying, as we talked a little bit beforehand, that the Ozarks in some cases means more than the state of Missouri, and into Arkansas, which obviously has the fourth casino that has been a issue that has gone on for God knows how long, how many years, you know, and that ballot initiative, you know, you said you've seen enough off of question two to become an expert off of that. How do you see Arkansas shaken up as we look to another casino, you know, same sort of mentality off of voters, or does Arkansas present some different challenges because of the dynamics that have happened with that license and its surrounding area versus what we've seen up north of there in Missouri?
Well, I think it's on the one hand, on the other. I think people are very happy with Southland Park, with Oaklawn, with Saracen. I mean, I think people are sort of think that those are three, you know, good operations. A lot of people also go into Shreveport and into Oklahoma to casinos there. I think people are not sort of scared of casinos. This is it's a little bit different issue in the sense that in all these other places, there was a public vote of one sort or another to establish the casino. And the difference in this is that there was not a public vote. It was done by a local authority, you know, by the county council, I think, made the decision to allow this. And the question is, should it be done? The people who did not win the contract are arguing that it should only be done by a vote. The people who won the contract, the right to the license to start the casino, they're arguing that, you know, out of state people who won the contract are arguing that out of state people have come in and are spending millions of dollars to upset the Arkansas economy and to underline it. I think it's a classic case of they're just trying to raise doubt. I have no doubt that question two started off with a big lead. I think it's been getting narrower as the advertising has gone on. My guess is that it too will be a fairly close outcome. And one reason I think you can tell it's going to be a close outcome, almost no elected official who doesn't live in that area has taken a position on it. And I've cornered a few of them, ask them where they stand. And I get the one hand on the other hand answer.
Yeah, well, I think that that's exactly how this thing's going to shake out in Missouri. As Brendan and I always talk about, which is, you know, unless some of these casino type issues have massive support going into it, you know, those negatives start to creep up and these things get real tight come election day. Speaking of a place where there's been a lot of issues and failed, you know, time and time again is in Virginia. We've got another question on the ballot about a casino in Virginia. I mean, you know, any thoughts on that, Harrison?
Well, I would just say, and this is Petersburg, right? I would say,
correct, yeah.
I would say the demographics would be overwhelmingly supportive of a casino in Petersburg. The sort of the makeup of the population, the fact, the underlying attitudes about gaming and so forth. Again, I think it has more to do with the specifics of the proposal than it does about whether or not people support gaming. And that's often the case. It's sort of politics messes up your business, right? I mean, it's easier for me to say than you probably. but I think this is a pretty good example of, I think if you just had a yes or no, should we have a casino in Petersburg, it would be overwhelmingly yes.
Well, and you say that, Harrison, and knowing that, you know, this is the what I'll call the third bite at the apple for that last casino there, and the two failed ones in Richmond. You know, I think that your assessment's very spot on of Petersburg saying, hey, we'd be for this anyway, but the devil's going to be in the details and the proposal and to some extent the pitch and how they got to where they're at. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. But we'll close out our wonderful podcast here today with the elephant in the room, which is there's this big thing on the ballot called the presidential race. And, you know, obviously would love to hear your assessment just sort of in general of where things may or may not go. Obviously that matters to some extent also when it comes to the House and the Senate, but more importantly, there's obviously one ticket, the Harris-Walz ticket, that has a sitting governor in a state that Brant and I've done a lot of work in Minnesota. You know, if a Harris-Walz ticket is successful on November 5th, how does that impact the politics of Minnesota just as much as how much does it affect the politics, you know, on whether they do or don't get across the finish line on November 5th or whenever the hell we figure out we've elected a president and vice president?
Well, no, it won't be on November 5th. I can tell you that.
Yeah,
I know. We'll agree to that one.
Yeah, we can agree to that. But, you know, yeah. In theory, that should be the case.
Pennsylvania doesn't start counting mail ballots until after the election. So it's going to be a long time, I think, before it was Saturday before the networks called it off of model data 4 years ago. So Saturday after the election. So I don't think anybody needs to worry about staying up late on Tuesday night. Look, I think in terms of if you look at the history of these things, what happens If a governor or a senator or somebody from a state is snatched up and, you know, thrown into the executive branch, it tends not to make a lot of difference. I mean, as important as those people think they are, and as powerful as they often can be, the people who come in typically don't make a lot of big changes. The people who follow them. Now, there's some exceptions to that, but that for the most part, I don't think a lot will change in Minnesota, at least in the short term. It's going to be now, you know, if the legislature feels like they have more running room to do something, you know, it may change. But I don't, in terms of, again, where the voters are, you know, the voters, as far as they're concerned, this is a guy who's, you know, serving out the end of his term fairly soon anyway. And, you know, so in their minds, I think my guess is they've already moved on and they're not going to say, oh, no, we can't do that because Walz was against that. I mean, I think that it won't matter as much as it will to the columnists. It won't matter as much to the public as it will to the columnists.
Isn't that always the case? Well, there we have it, folks. It's been a spooky holiday election prediction series right there. See how I did that? I'm so clever. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. This has been another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast with your hosts, Brand Iden and Brendan Mussman.
Thank you again for joining us, Harrison, and we'll see you all next time.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brant Iden. We'll be back soon for the next coin flip. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to igamingbusiness.com.